Blog Talk Radio.
And we are here today in 2015, and it's getting ready to be 2016 in a week or so. That being said, I'll tell you, let me know what's going on, Black Star, in Texas, and the jailers and the people that did Sandra in. What do you think?
Yes. Hello.
What do you think?
I think that it's horrible that her parents, her family had to find out about this trial that took place last week through the media. Her parents, her mother and her family say that they only found that they've been shut out of the grand jury process, and they only learned of Monday's decision from news reports.
Wow.
I just can't even believe that her family wasn't notified that there was even going to be a trial, and they have failed to convict anyone in this case. But what I find more egregious, Mother Hattie, is the fact that some of the people in Waller County where this happened, where Sandra Brown was killed in the Waller County jail, or found hanging, so they say, death by suicide. What I find even more upsetting is the fact that the people in Waller County are being very complacent. They don't want to really get involved. I'm disappointed in the students at Prairie View for not continuing this fight. Sandra Bland came there to help the children of Prairie View, the students there in the community. She was one of the people that fought for voters' rights, not only for student voter rights, not only in Prairie View, but across the country because of Prairie View fighting and standing up so that students can have the right to vote where they were enrolled in school. Now everybody across the country has that right, and Sandra Bland was a part of that action. And for these people to not stand up in that community and continue the fight for Sandra Bland, is a disgrace. I'm just so upset, because when I call to Prairie View and I try to find out, okay, what's going on, where any actions taking place, what can the rest of the community do to help, people are like, well, we really don't want the news media involved in this case. We don't really want outsiders getting involved. What? What sense does that make? And so the white people there have basically terrified these people to the point where they don't even want to stand up and fight anymore. They don't want to do anything. I know it's not all of them, because I know that Judge Charleston, who was on our show, The Lotus Place, I know that he's been fighting and been fighting for a long time for voter rights and civil rights for the people in Waller County. So I know it's not everybody. However, when I do call and try to speak to some people, they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Well, we really don't want anybody getting involved. So it's just a lot of pushback. It's really sad.
What do you think, Delta Cougar?
Well, I think I heard about it this morning on the news, and I hate to say this, but I said to myself, I said, there go another one. They knew they wasn't going to convict nobody or do anything about it. And it's just sad that how our people won't stick together. But then when our people do stick together, the white supremacists still do what they want to do. So really, what can we do?
We keep fighting.
You know,
we keep fighting.
And just like this case this morning on the news, the young mother out in Las Vegas, you know, okay, this child, the psychiatrist said, it's no way that the family members or somebody couldn't see that this child had problems. She's 24 years old. Did you hear, Texas, that she graduated with a 3.0 and she's supposed to have a good government job? If this child walked away from that job and living homeless, and the girl, she did an interview, and she was saying how she had been homeless as with her mother, and how she, her mother was an alcoholic and on drugs, and the girl said her mother put her out, she was living homeless. So don't you know all that, you know, weighed on her, and somebody had to see something. Something is not right. There's no way that you can't tell me if this child walked away from her good government job, something is not right, something is not going, but you're going to wait till something happens. Now everybody want to throw the book away at this child, but yet
Delta, give everybody an update on what case you're speaking of, because some people may not be familiar with what happened.
Okay, okay.
Some background details.
Okay, I know it. I'm just so emotional about it. Okay, there was a young lady Sunday night in Las Vegas when they was having that
Miss Universe pageant.
When they was having the Miss Universe pageant, the young lady hit and took her car and put it up on the sidewalk and mowed down about 40 people. She hit about 40 people. One person was killed. Three of them is in critical condition. Two of them is still in, about three or four of them still in the hospital, but three are in critical. But this young lady was 24 years old. She's a black girl. Her name is Keisha. I can't remember the last name, but the first name is Keisha. And they said that she came to Las Vegas. She hadn't been there no more than a week. And they said that her and the baby's father was having problems. Okay. I forgot, Ashir, where was that town she came from? Because we was talking about it was predominantly white, that town she came from.
Oh, she. Well, I don't know what town, but she came from Oregon, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
She's from the state of Oregon.
Okay. And she had been there a week. Now, why would you walk away from your government job in Oregon and come there? Something is not right. And she's riding around sleeping in her car. And they said the reason she was so upset, she tried to go and sleep in her car with her daughter at three different places. And the security guard ran her away. And from my understanding, the young lady, she just lost it. The psychiatrist said, if you look at it, she lost it. Because the people said when she was running them down, they said she was looking straight ahead with both of her hands on the steering wheel. She had no emotion. She was just looking. No emotion, no nothing. So can't somebody tell that's a disconnect? And I'm trying to say this with Sandra Blinn. If she had a problem, don't you know somebody would have noticed that? Okay, something. We can't wait till something get out of hand, family members. We got to catch it before it get out of hand. There's no way that this child had, and then she also had her three-year-old daughter in the car, sitting in the back seat while she mowing these people down. Now, don't you know somebody had to know something is not right? Somebody? You can't tell me that this could just come all overnight. And that's what the psychiatrist was saying. He said when it's all said and done, somebody going to come out and say that they saw a change in this young lady. But now let me tell you what happened. They spoke to her family members. The family members gave all comments. They answered certain things. But when they asked them about her mental state, they said the family members wouldn't answer. And we know in the black community, we do not want to be labeled as being crazy.
Why was she homeless and she had some family members?
That is true.
What were they?
And see, I don't know, but see, that's true, Texas. That's a good question. But don't you know, if she was homeless and had family members, don't you know the mind wasn't right? They should have got her and put her somewhere. If this child walk away from this good job, everybody's saying this child had, she just upped and walked away. Don't
well, how
you know
does she have some, a good, wait a minute, how does she have
no,
a good job and she was homeless?
That is what they trying to find out. She did, they pulling it down, the FBI and everybody's pulling it down. She had a good government job. They said when she graduated from college, she went to a government job. They said she had a, they don't know why this child walked away from her job. So this is
okay,
what
so
the
she
psychiatrist,
walked away from the job.
This is what the psychiatrist is saying. Something was going on inside of her, and he was saying this morning, she kept it together long as she could, and then she got to the place she couldn't hold it together no more. And I have a friend girl, and her last name is White, and she worked on her job at the hospital for over 20-something years, was a mauler employee. But I'm saying this to say this. I want y'all to listen. She worked on her job. She was a mauler employee for over 20-something years, got all type of awards. But this girl, one day, something happened to her daughter. A teacher did something to her daughter. And all of a sudden, the lady lost it. My friend lost it. This is no lie. My friend literally lost it. And my friend's mind went bad. And she lost it. And the psychiatrist said, because I was one of them, and her husband, me, and different ones was trying to help her. And she had so much abuse done to her as a child that the doctor said, the psychiatrist said, she kept it bottled all up inside of her until she couldn't keep it held inside no more. And the doctor said that by the teacher physically abusing her child, it opened up old wounds, and she couldn't hold it together anymore. So think about this young girl. This young girl, they saying, had this good job. And the psychiatrist is saying this morning, it was many things going on inside of her. And she was trying to do everything she could to hold it together. But the psychiatrist is saying this morning, something triggered her to go off the deep end. And see, people don't realize, this is what I tell everybody, people don't realize what you do to your kids when they are young. Mentally, kids may go on and like everything is fine, but eventually, if you don't seek counseling and help for it, it would rail back up in your life. And it would come to hunt you. You would turn to drugs or alcohol, all types of things. You got to treat what is ailing you. You can't keep it putting clothes. If I got a wound and the wound got a cut on it, and I'm just keep it putting something over the wound and know I need stitches, it's not going to do any good. That means the hole going to be there. And then when the hole closes up, the hole is not right. So we can't, in the, think about what I'm saying now. We can't just keep her. The young lady just kept her going and trying to do the best she could. And then she had this three-year-old child she had to worry about. Then there she go, got this three-year-old child, a single parent, and then they saying the father was nowhere to be found. Okay, now come on, let's keep it real. We got some deadbeat dads around here who won't help. And they said she was stressed out with his father. She reached out to this father. They said this morning on the news, she reached out to this father for some help. Now, see, and we got to wake up in our community. When we see, a lot of times we see stuff, and we don't sweep it under the rug.
Absolutely.
I know. I've done it when I was young. Let's don't talk about that. Because we was taught, you don't talk about that.
Yeah.
And if somebody was crazy when we was coming up, you don't say that out in public. You keep that among yourself.
Yeah.
And we bad about doing that in our community.
Yeah, my uncle suffered from schizophrenia when he came back from the military. Now, I don't know if he already had issues prior to the military or if the military exacerbated his mental issues or what. But he had mental issues, and my grandmother put him out because he had started using drugs, and I think he stole a TV or something like that. My grandmother put him out. He went to stay with his daddy, who was very abusive, physically and emotionally abusive to all the children. And my grandfather ended up killing him. My grandfather killed his son. And so those were mental issues that were taking place in our family. Nobody, well, I don't know, because I was still very young. I don't know if any help was sought out for him or what. But we do keep these things hidden, and we don't want to talk about it. And this destroyed our family for a long time. For a long time. I mean, I don't think that we've all really healed from that.
Mental problems are considered a sickness.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're considered a sickness, mental problems, and everybody has sickness. This isn't anything out of the ordinary and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. Just that's the way it is. And the things like within the society itself, they contribute to this too. There's a lot
Absolutely.
Of things that's not necessarily things that their brethren do to them. It's just the culture in general. This is a very, very sick and violent and mentally ill society we live in. We've been inundated with the same things that the people that control it have and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Always want to talk about this so-called black-on-black crime. Well, crime is crime. White-on-white crime, 85% of the white folk that get killed are killed by white folk. They don't say white-on-white crime and whatnot.
Right.
This is the society we live in. This girl, they obviously had some kind of mental problems, but they might not have manifested themselves to her family. They might not have known, or they might have known that's why she was homeless. Said, I don't want that crazy girl living with me. I love her.
Yeah.
I know she's family, but she's crazy. You know, it could have been something like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. But she obviously was overwhelmed by all her problems and whatnot. It's very sad, you know. It's very sad. Who did she work for in the government? I'm curious about that. See, for me, that's food for thought and grounds for further research, because I try to research things. What government agency did she work for? I'd be curious to know. I work for the federal government. I know the kinds of things that go on and the workings within the federal government. You know, even just as being an employee, you know, you'd be folk would be surprised. I'll tell you that much.
And now, this is the sad part about it. Now they're trying to throw her away. But then, listen, see, this is what pisses me off. Excuse my friend. Now they're trying to throw her away. But yet, you let a white boy go and kill 4 people, paralyzed 2, and another one is critically disability from behind it. And yet, he can say that he's too rich and he didn't know right from wrong. But now you saying this girl here that may have mental illness, that she would never see the light of day again. Now, come on here. Come on.
Well, the other thing, I'm glad you brought
that
up.
You know what, that's
nothing. The other thing is, perhaps there was even this. You remember the children down at Colorado? They killed those children in the ones at Sandy Hook, that man. You know, a lot of the people have had mental health support, and one of the side effects of the medication that they take are bizarre things like this happening while they're on it or if they're off of it. And so if she had been given treatment over the years or for something, who knows, it could have been a medication sort of situation. And this is why I think it's so important that we as a community like, yeah, this is wrong, but this, everything tends to get criminalized when it comes to African American people, as opposed to this is a mental health issue, like with the young man in the jail, or either this is a young man, what do they call it, chemically dependent. And it's always been that way because the other people had the health insurance that could take them in, and they would get treatment for a mental illness, or they get treatment for drug or chemical dependency or what have you. And so it could even be that she was on medication, and you never know. But immediately you're turning it into she's going to be a criminal rather than what is actually going on with her, and that's why it's so critical, I think, that we have it's important that we as a community, you know, look at these things and provide some kind of support for them on a level that maybe her family may not do it. But, I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. Now, Marvin, you're back in. What did you think about the Sandra Bland? We're going to flip back to that one for just a moment here. What did you think about the Sandra Bland outcome so far?
For me, stuff like that is never a surprise. I basically expect those kind of decisions because that's consistent with what they come up with. They always come up with a guy. I mean, we could go back 20 years to what was the guy's name? Amadou Diallo, whatever, in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
They got off. That was 20 years ago, probably a little longer than that maybe, you know. It just continues all the way up to... It's consistent. That's what they do. So it doesn't get me mad. I can't be any madder now than I was then because it's continuous. So it's something that I expect when we're dealing with it. And having said that, I don't know what to say, you know, that I haven't already said. I don't know why we expect anything different from these people that basically, and the laws within... See, for me, I believe all of this is systemic and whatnot. It ain't just the people. It's the people. It's the system they set up. I don't think it's set up for us to get any justice. I hate to be so fatalistic about life, but that's just the way I see it because that's the way it has always been, and it never changes. It doesn't matter whether a Democrat or Republican is in. It just never changes. It's always like that. Mm-hmm. So...
Let's go back to the women in Oklahoma that were by the police officer. Really surprised that he was held accountable.
You know what I found ironic about that? When he was sitting in court and they gave him the just sentence that they gave him, you know, they gave him the sentence, what he deserved. He was just heartbroken apart by it. You see his reaction? What did he expect? Did he expect for them to give him probation or something?
He did. He probably thought that he would get off. But you know what? Even though he was convicted on those charges, there were still other women whose testimony, apparently, to the prosecution and the jury, didn't hold water. It didn't stand. Their cases didn't stand up because he wasn't convicted on all 13. He was only convicted on 8. So they reduced those first 36 counts down to 18. So they reduced them down to half, just about. So you know, they only validated almost half, a little over half of the. Testimonies of the women, and then they reduced his charges. So they still let him get off if this man does not serve life in prison. But I think, let me see, is it him or, you know, they have so many of these cases now, they just all seem to run together because there's another cop, it may be him. No, it's another cop. One of these other cops that was doing the same exact thing. He is not going to be registered as a sex offender. If you violate someone sexually, you should be registered as a sex offender.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
this is something
that really received justice.
This was built into police culture, by the way. I witnessed this growing up in New York. I used to see this in the real bad neighborhoods and whatnot. You would see it. You know, them white cops taking advantage of the residents, would be they in where I live, Puerto Rican or African American women and whatnot. You used to see, this was something known and whatnot, you know. And so this is part of police culture, and this, you know, it goes back to how much control these people have over everybody in the community, you know, and whatnot. How, you know, somehow there's going to have to be a way for our people to defend themselves against stuff like this, because obviously the government, you know, the politics of this country doesn't protect us from this. So we're going to have to figure out how we're going to protect ourselves. That's how I look at it, you know, because mm-hmm. they are miserable failures at protecting us from this.
Absolutely. I definitely concur with that. And so we can't be too surprised or get too, I don't want to say not be upset, because, I mean, I know we get upset, but, I mean, this is common practice with these people. These laws were not designed to protect us. They were designed to pretty much convict us.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the history around America and the laws have been established for the rich to get richer, to protect these white people or people that are into this criminal activity, and to constantly convict us. So I'm not surprised about what's going on with this Sandra Bland case, especially if people don't want to stand up and continue pushing and fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But I will commend the people in Chicago, because they're standing up and constantly protesting, being out in the streets, and that's what people have to do. They have we have to continue the fight in some kind of way, I would say, but it's just always
when
something.
We continue to fight, see, this is what I'm saying, and I don't want to be a bad fall or nothing, but I'm just saying, see, like when we continue to fight and try to get stuff done, we bring it to the forefront, to the news and all like it is, just with the Eric Gardner case. Everybody just knew this man was going to be found guilty. And look what happened. And a lot of people lose hope. It ain't that people don't want to not help. The people just, when they do go and try to help, the white
people. Well, maybe they need to seek a different method of trying to help. Maybe what they're doing is not, it simply ain't working. They need to think about another strategy as to what will work. You know, you don't keep doing the same thing over and over again if it doesn't work. You know, if they think by demonstrations and you know, trying to appeal to the
moral consciousness for these people,
yeah, and whatnot, is going to do something and whatnot, and they continue to do it and it doesn't do anything, obviously that doesn't work. Maybe they need to think in terms of doing something else. You know, what that is, I don't know, but all I'm saying is, you know, they have to at least modify, you know, their tactics as to what they do if things ain't working. There ain't no point in doing something over and over and over again, you know, if you, you know, trying to build a car to go 200 miles an hour and everything you do only lets you go 100 miles an hour and you don't ever change your methods and materials and everything. You ain't never going to get to build a car that goes 200 miles an hour. As simple as
that's
that.
That's right.
That
would
be the problem. I don't know. But
can we do this method? This method right here, what do y'all think? If we go to the voting poll, do you think that would help? A lot
no,
of people think
we've been
get out and
no.
vote. You got to get
no.
out and vote. You got
no.
to do this.
No. No,
well, we've had black presidents now, secretary of defenses and chief police and everything and whatnot, and they didn't even get the support from the rest of the political establishment to put forth any laws and regulations that would help us. So that don't necessarily mean that if we get our man in, it's going to do something and whatnot.
No.
You know, we've had... Now what's happening in the history of this country is we have African people of African ancestry that have had the highest posts in the country, and they ain't been able to do one hell of a whole lot. I'm not saying they haven't done anything, because that would be short-sighted. But they haven't been able to change our position as a people and whatnot.
Right.
And they've been in the highest levels of government now. So that ain't necessarily what the deal is and whatnot.
That's
you know, that is not necessarily what the deal is. As far as what we're putting our hopes on is doing something within the framework of American politics. We're citizens of the United States of America. That's what we're looking at. That might not necessarily be the way we need to think about it. Basically, I'm a pan-Africanist, so I don't limit myself to geography of the United States as far as looking for leadership and salvation and all that. But basically, mm-hmm. we're in a hell of a position in every African community on this planet. I don't care if you got black people living in London, Paris, in Colombia, in Brazil. They face the same problems as we do and whatnot.
Absolutely.
This is a global problem and whatnot. And what we don't understand is we need to make it, you know, think in terms of global solutions for our stuff. We need to think in terms of, you know, some of our estranged family outside of the border of this country and to figure out what we're going to do. They're going to do the same stuff we're going to do. They're killing, shooting blacks in the streets in Brazil like crazy. It's like hunting season on them in the favelas, you know, and whatnot. It has become political, man. So maybe we need to think, we need to look into see what some of these people think and what they're trying to do. Help themselves in the same situation. Maybe some of the things they're doing will work for us. I don't know what they, but obviously what we're doing, man, it ain't slowing stuff up.
No, so, I mean, again, Marvin, I have to agree with you on that because, and Delta, I'm not saying that we should not vote. I'm just saying that that's not the win-all to be-all. I mean, because we've been doing it. We've been doing it. We voted so much that we voted a black president in, and we still see the same thing. In fact, we have more black deaths now than we did in the 1800s when there was one person being lynched a day. So we see more black killings and genocide on our people. So, I mean, voting is not just the panacea to this. It's not the complete solution. It takes a number of different blueprints, which have already been outlaid, let me add. We just don't follow them. So we keep going in this continuous circle trying to figure out why they do this and why they do that. Well, how come they didn't convict it? Well, they've never heard it. I mean, it used to be legal to kill black people. So, I mean, nothing has really changed. So we have to change. That's why we got to figure out what different, like Marvin said, what different do we need to do? The marching, the voting, we've been doing it for 50 years. To continue with the marching and voting is insanity.
Yeah,
so
that was actually there was more for Cecil the Lion than it was for the people that had been murdered. So the lion got more press. The lion that the man killed, the dentist.
Yes.
Cecil the Lion got more compassion than all these human beings, these black men. I mean, they had Cecil the Lion off, and they ran all the man down to the house for killing Cecil the Lion.
Destroyed his business and everything. Man couldn't even practice dentistry anymore. But see, these cops, they can continue living, going to play golf or whatever it is they're doing. And so, as we can see, when something happens to white people or to some animals, then everybody all up in arms. We see how the two black officers were convicted immediately for killing that little white boy in Louisiana. Like,
oh, yeah,
no,
definitely.
Like
Tamir
Rice didn't get killed unjustly. Yeah. You know, this is crazy. So we're crazy to think that they're going to do something and give us real justice, because if we keep doing the same thing that we're doing, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We got to do something different. We need to become informed. We need to do like Mother Hattie said. We need to focus on learn how to change policy. Maybe we can do something
now
think
about this. Chinese gangs, Asian gangs in this country, they got as many gangs and whatnot as we do. They do all the same crazy stuff as they do. The kids, our gangs do and whatnot. They're inundated. That's part of American Asian culture. They got their gangs. That's what works in this country, whatnot. You don't see them killing up Chinese Asian kids in the streets, or even Latin kids in the streets where they kill them up ours. Whatnot. Those communities have ties to the homeland of their country, the Chinese business community and the Chinese political community. They do business with these people, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
They was killing Chinese people in the street, man. Don't you know China would be calling up these people and telling them, hey, listen, you know, this got to end, man. You know, you want to continue doing business with us, or you want to continue selling our whatever, you know. They wouldn't stand for it. They wouldn't stand for it. We don't have no ties with nobody around the world. We're here. We just got us here. And when that, mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the points I'm trying to make. You know, we need more of a power base than just what we have here. That's what, when Malcolm X used to talk about going to the UN and all that, that's basically what we need to, how we need to look at ourselves. And we ain't getting no justice from these folks, from this system.
UN or the World Court. Mm-hmm. No, we're not getting any justice in this system.
System is not really what we do. We have enough brothers and sisters in within our culture that are smart enough jurisprudents, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, to know how to defend us and do stuff. They just can't because of the way this system is devised and who it was meant to benefit. And that's one of the problems, man.
I think they won't. Not that they can't. They won't.
Well, if they won't, that means they have the power not to. That shouldn't be, you know, if it is one man, one vote and all that kind of business. But, well, yeah, they won't, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with all of that.
Any more last comments? I'll give everybody a last comment on one more solution.
Yeah,
For argument's sake, even if the sister did commit suicide and has, and all these people have these psychological problems and whatnot, what about the tens of thousands of other cases of people that probably didn't? You know,
mm-hmm.
these are just, you know, exceptions in, or the one in a thousand rules. You know, as simple as that. You know, that's all I have to say.
I think basically. Just said, well, you didn't catch us doing this one on camera, so we're not going to figure anything out other than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only reason why some of these people are being convicted the way they are being convicted these cops is because it's been caught on camera. Like,
that's the only
reason. It again. Yeah, like Tennessee Coast said,
they're not
going to
investigate
themselves. The cameras are new. None of this stuff is new. None of these killings are new. They've been doing this. They always have done it. Now we can just record it on camera. But still, in some cases, like with Eric Garner, like we said, it doesn't matter if you have it on camera. Then these people are still not found guilty. And I also want to say, let's keep in mind and keep in prayer the people up in Flint, Michigan, who have lead in their water. And so now these children... Lead affects children in a more dangerous way than it affects adults. And so now these children have cognitive disabilities. Some of these children were A students, and now because of this lead in their system, now they've become C students. And so now they have these disabilities and developmental delays and disabilities, all because of the state of Michigan not caring. And so it goes back to how this system does not care about us. You mean to tell me that this is not a human rights crisis, that Obama and whoever else, the Obama administration, can't do something about that water? But we can send millions and millions and billions of dollars to Israel so they can kill somebody to take their land. But we can't send some water over to Detroit. Come on. Wake up. And stop taking up for this man and the rest of these people, not just Obama, because he's just coming in line doing the job.
Okay, well, we're going to close out for today. And thank you all for joining us again here. Yes, Women United. Thank you.
Marvin, send me your number and email because we want to invite you on the Lotus Place show. I'm so sorry, Mother Hattie, to interrupt you. I forgot we've been trying to get Marvin's number for the longest time.
Okay, my number?
That's how you got to ask me, and I'll get it from David and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Get it from David.
So
he'll
we
give
don't
you
have to call for that. And you just never know. Let's keep everything confidential and private, and sex people, don't put them on the spot. So,
that's true. Okay. David
will
give you everything, and I'll tell him to give you everything. That's all. But he, yes. he just, you know. All right. And,
Marvin, you have my email still. You can email your number to me. We have a show tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and we would love for you and David to come on.
Yeah.
And share your comments. Absolutely.
Give me your...
Black
well,
Star
when you get my email, yeah, because I don't have your email. I don't know what I did. I have so many emails. Let me tell you something. And different things on the internet. I can hardly keep the track of it. I'll be having a senior moment.
I'm going to for today. We'll get it right to you, Shira.
All right.
Okay.
Good enough.
Don't forget.
Right.
We've been trying to get Marvin on for weeks.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. You all take care.
Okay.
Yes. Mother
have a happy holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mother Hattie. Your show always get me all heated.
Thank you again, and thanks for calling in, everybody. Have a good one.
Okay.